welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Lee Hardman, currency analyst at MUFG. It's Friday, May 20th, 2022, and joining Lee to pose some questions on the financial market themes for the week ahead is Matthew Gleu, Head of Global Customer Marketing Group. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only.
So Lee, good afternoon. It's been another hectic week in financial markets. According to you, what has stood out in the FX world over the past week?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, like you say, it's been another volatile week for markets. I think the big kind of story for us, for FX markets this week, has been the sell-off that we've seen in the US dollar. That's somewhat surprising, considering that we're still seeing very kind of risk-averse trading conditions. So you would normally expect the dollar to perform still well in these conditions. But obviously, over the past week, we have seen a setback for the dollar. And it's been quite a big sell-off. It's the biggest kind of correction lower for the dollar that we've seen since January, February of this year. So that's to us a notable development. Although we'd still highlight at this stage that the dollar is still obviously performing very well in the bigger picture. It's still up just over 4.5% so far in Q2. And our take at this point is that we see this as just a temporary correction for now. If we look at the kind of main reasons why the dollar has been strengthening so much in recent months, we don't think that kind of fundamental story has changed significantly over the past week. But I would say in the very short term, there is still a risk that this correction lower could extend further in the near term. We've seen a buildup of long dollar positions in recent weeks, and I think that's something certainly which leaves the market vulnerable for a further squeeze to the downside for the dollar. But like I said, I think the fundamental story is still dollar positive right now. The key kind of reasons why the dollar is trading so strong is, number one, the Fed is still very hawkish. They've been very clear over the past week that they're not too concerned yet by the weakness that we're seeing in equity markets. If anything, they're kind of signaling that this weakness in equity markets is helpful in terms of it tightens financial conditions, and ultimately, that's what they want to do by tightening their monetary policy stance. And ultimately, they want to slow demand in the US economy. So this is something that they want to achieve to try and bring down inflation going forward. And at this stage as well, we don't think the Fed will be too concerned about signs of slowing growth momentum in the US. Certainly, if you look at economic surprise indices for the US right now, they're starting to disappoint. Which is pointing towards a loss of growth momentum over there in the US. But like I said, that's partly what the Fed wants to achieve. So I don't think we've seen a kind of sufficiently strong slowdown in growth at this stage to really change the Fed's plans for faster policy tightening at this stage. And then secondly, the other key reason why the dollar is doing so well is the fact that investors are becoming more fearful over the outlook for growth outside of the US. And on that side of things as well, we still think ultimately the market is fearful about the risks of growth slowing more sharply in Europe because of the Ukraine conflict, and also with evidence of slower growth in China as well because of the COVID restrictions that are currently in place.
Okay, so Fed policy and risk aversion essentially keeping the dollar on the strong side. Looking into the future then, do you think there's a particular trigger or anything that would bring a more sustained reversal lower for the dollar?
It's a good question. We see two main potential triggers for a more sustained weakening of the dollar in the coming months. Firstly, I think there is certainly some possibility that investors could become less fearful or concerned about growth prospects in China. Obviously, this week we did see the release of the latest activity data for China for April, and that did surprise quite notably to the downside. So it was signaling that the Chinese economy was slowing more sharply at the start of Q2 because of the COVID restrictions that are currently in place. But we're relatively optimistic that that could be the kind of worst point for China's economy, and that in the coming months, we could see activity start to pick up again in China. We have seen some encouraging signs over the past week that the number of new COVID cases in Shanghai have slowed, and that if that positive trend continues, policymakers in China could be in a position to start easing some of those restrictions in the coming weeks and months. And as we've seen globally, once restrictions for COVID are eased, we do see a strong bounce back in activity. And it's certainly the case as well that policymakers in China are starting to implement more aggressive policy easing measures as they look to try and soften this slowdown in growth that's taking place now. And it certainly increases the likelihood that once activity does bounce back, it could bounce back more strongly from later in Q2 and into the second half of this year, which I think would help to firstly kind of stabilize negative sentiment towards China and the Chinese renminbi. And then as well, more broadly, it could help to kind of ease some of the kind of upward pressure that we've seen on the dollar over the last couple of months. The second potential catalyst as well, which could also help to ease some of the upward pressure on the dollar in the markets, would be certainly the shift that seems to be taking place in terms of European central bankers. We're increasingly hearing from central bankers at the ECB and also the Swiss National Bank. Their message in recent weeks has become more and more hawkish. We certainly think that the ECB is preparing markets for them to speed up the pace of their policy tightening going forward. And we do think now that the ECB is certainly a lot more serious about bringing quantitative easing to a more immediate end, we think, in June, and then quickly following that up by starting to raise rates at the next meeting in July. We still think that on balance, they're likely to do a 25 basis point hike to begin with. But we certainly have noted comments this week from Governing Council member Knott, who for the first time, he was the first member really at the ECB to start to more seriously question whether the ECB should be so gradual in terms of tightening policy and even raise the prospect of the 50 basis point hike. I think at this stage, still very unlikely that we see a 50 basis point hike from the ECB, but I think it's just another indication that the change of thinking on the ECB is certainly turning in a more hawkish direction, certainly a lot quicker than we had anticipated. And to us, this shift of the ECB, we think, will likely continue unless we see a much sharper slowdown in growth in Europe as we head into the summer period. So all in all, to us, this points towards an ECB which is on course to bring an end to the negative rate policy in Europe, we think, by the autumn. And as we move into kind of positive rates in Europe, we think eventually that will start to offer more support for the euro later this year. And then finally, like I said, we've also had some interesting kind of hawkish comments as well from SNB President Jordan over the past week. He gave the kind of strongest signal yet that the SNB is also more seriously considering tightening policy as well going forward. Obviously, historically, the SNB does tend to follow the ECB. So we think it's looking more likely as well that the SNB will also potentially start raising rates towards the end of this year. And that to us could be a further catalyst for a stronger Swiss franc. We've seen quite a big reversal over the past week already with the Swiss franc strengthening quite sharply. And we think in the short term, there's certainly room for the franc to strengthen further.
Thank you, Lee. I'd like to go back briefly on the ECB. I mean, to which extent do you think that the body language of the ECB at the moment has anything to do with the level in euro dollar and maybe some concern over the perceived path to parity that some people were talking about?
Yeah, I think it's certainly starting to attract more concern amongst ECB policy members. We heard on a number of occasions over the last couple of weeks comments from the Bank of France governor, who has expressed explicit concern that if the euro was to weaken even further from where we are now, potentially below parity, at those much weaker euro levels, he thinks that would be more challenging for the ECB to achieve their price stability mandate. So we think that is already kind of trying to create a kind of tighter link between a weaker euro and upside risks to inflation. I think for markets, that is important. It could help to support the euro going forward if that continues, because it's ultimately sending a stronger signal that if the euro does continue to weaken and we go below parity, then that will ultimately force the ECB to be more active in terms of tightening policy. And if the ECB does have to speed up the pace of rate hikes, then I think that would be a key factor which would help to turn the euro around against the dollar, because ultimately one of the key reasons why euro dollar is trading so low right now is the view that the ECB is going to lag well behind the Fed in terms of raising rates going forward. So anything which basically narrows those expectations for policy divergence should help euro dollar to move higher.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Lee.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for more information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.